it is now time to wake up. I mean, to fully awaken, even if you know what's happening with the New World Order, but you're not reaching out to people, you're not informing others, you're not fighting against tyranny, you're not seeing yourself as leaders. If you're not seeing yourself as leaders, then we don't have any hope as a society. It is going to be every man, woman, and child of you out there that are aware of this great evil that are going to be able to turn the tide. I mean, look at the news here today. Look at what's happening in England, and similar things are happening here in the United States. CCTV taxi plan, a staggering invasion of privacy. Plans to fit all taxis operating in the city of Oxford, England, with audio recording devices have been branded a staggering invasion of privacy. Well, they put cameras up all over the country. Why not? They listen to your cell phones without warrants. Why not? Prompting calls for an information commission's office to investigate how widespread the use of microphones in public transport has become. Well, they've put them in, they're talking about in planes, having a camera in the front of the seat watching you like you're a prisoner. Homeland Security is actually entertaining making people wear taser bracelets. They're already setting up highway checkpoints with TSA now. Plans to fit all taxis, again, operating in the city. Taxi drivers in the university town have been told that they will need to install the 460-pound device, and again, that's not pounds in weight, pounds in money, by 2015 or face having their licenses revoked. The microphones, accompanied by CCTV cameras, will activate once the ignition in the car is turned on and will remain recording for 30 minutes after the engine is turned off. The council says the recording equipment is necessary to protect drivers and passengers as well as deal with any disputes over fares. See, you're all being treated as if you're guilty criminals, and so you've got to be recorded. And now in England, for 4 years, over 20,000 families a year, the government does this. They take your child at birth for no reason and then give it back after a few weeks and then make you put cameras in your house to prove that you're not hurting the child. This is just done out of hand. Here's the Associated Press. Outrage at UK plan to put audio recorders in taxis. What are you talking about? I mean, what do you think all this other systems are? The government's putting up Homeland Security controlled light poles and fake transformer boxes that have microphones and cameras in them. It's all admitted. See, when you stop caring about freedom, things get crazy. And then one more thing I want to hit before I take a call here on this short segment. London Telegraph, and we'll put this article up. It's up at drudgereport.com and other places. I saw it yesterday, but didn't get to it. China, Google Earth spots huge unidentified structures in the Gobi Desert. You can just show them a document cam if you want. And it's these giant, what look like metal tracks going for many, many miles, probably part of some type of HARP program. But again, it's all under national security. And because it's all under national security, just like here, no one gets to find out what it is. You give government unlimited money and power to play God, they start acting like it. Heaven knows what they're involved in, but it looks like it's HARP-related from my research. We'll be covering all this tonight, 7 o'clock Central, for that special report. Let's jam in another call here. Let's talk to New World Order calling from Nevada. Go ahead.
Alex, this is on the NWO.
Hey.
Calling you from Nevada. I'm sitting here looking at these demons spraying my city right now as we speak. But I've got some crucial information for you related to your efforts for the social network, for Twitter, and for Ron Paul. First of all, on Twitter, if you want to be the most effective with your Twitter bombs, you need to create hashtags for your tweets, for the tweets that you post and the effort. You know, just like you use a search term with Google, you need to create a hashtag with Twitter. So you need to create pound chemtrails or pound geoengineering or pound infowars.com or infowars. You can't use a dot. You can only use numbers and letters. That's just one thing. I know you're going to.
Well, I'll tell you what. Send me a report. I'll put you on hold and give you our email. Send me. I know we don't know much about Twitter. We're invading Twitter right now at Real Alex Jones there at Twitter. Thank you so much. Send us some of those bullet points. Everybody else is telling me that, so I need to be schooled in the ways of the Tweety. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
commander, and I say don't listen to Alex Jones. What we need is a global government headed up by Cobra, with a global Cobra currency, brought to you by my friends at Goldman Sachs. So, Cobra!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is Tuesday, the 15th day of November, 2011. And yes, 2011 has gotten very long in the tooth and in the beard. And soon we will enter the vaunted 2012, accelerating towards late December, when supposedly the Earth will be destroyed. Of course, the Mayans also believe the Earth was the back of a alligator, and that we all lived on top of an alligator and the world was flat. So I believe that we're going to be here a year from now, a year and a half from now. But there is a slight chance and a growing chance the globalists will wreak incredible disasters and havoc on this population, on this globe, with the genetic engineering, with the nuclear weapons. The list goes on and on. Okay, here's what's coming up today. Mark Hinkle will be joining us. He is the head of the Libertarian Party here in the United States. And we'll talk about the Libertarian Party's plans to try to push the idea of freedom versus collectivism and globalism and the whole New World Order system. And so he is the chairman of the Libertarian Party. He will be joining us today, and I'll bring up Ron Paul, Jesse Ventura, and other issues. And then Webster Tarpley, never one to act like a tough guy, but he certainly is one, especially mentally and historically. His IQ is up there quite a bit, up there in lights, as they would say. And no brag, just fact, he went to Libya during the bombardment, went through checkpoints out of Tunisia, was in areas that were strafed. He doesn't really talk about that on air, but he was under attack. Now he's run off to Syria to find out actually what's going over there. And he's going to be joining us coming up in the third hour today to look at all things geopolitical. So Mark Hinkle, head of the Libertarian Party, and Webster Griffin Tarpley, doctor of history, and of course he's also an economist. He will be joining us to talk about the Middle East, Israel, what the word is over there geopolitically. And then the second part of our interview, we'll get a bit into the world economy and the open announcement of a Bank of the World run by the mega banks. And they, and in their own words, they admit it's dictatorial. But also, it was a 35-minute interview, so I won't air all of it. Coming up a little bit later towards the end of this hour and into the second, ahead of Mr. Hinkle joining us, we are going to play part of an interview I did last night with Jim Rogers, of course, who's made tens of billions of dollars in the last 30, 40 years as a big hedge fund manager, as a stockbroker, you name it. He joined us for his maiden visit, but he said he'd love to come back in the future. And, of course, he's a big Ron Paul supporter, and he talked about the foregone conclusion of the complete and total collapse of the world economy. And that, yes, they'll attempt a world government, but that it's not going to work, in his view. Wow, it's a powerful interview. And I will attempt to air most of it here today, which is really premiering it here on actual broadcast. It streamed out last night to all the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, and then all the other folks that then upload it to the four winds of the web. But we'll be playing the audio/video here. When I got him on, I said, well, how long do you have? Because we were taping the show last night. Some nights we're live, some nights we tape it. And we got him on at about 6:20 Central. And he said, I'll do an hour and a half with you. And I said, well, unfortunately, we're going to go live then, and so we can't start the interview now and then do that. He says, well, I'll come back in 30 minutes. Really nice guy. And I said, you know what? Let's just do this now. And he goes, okay, good. Because the reason I have an hour and a half is I'm going to be on my exercise bike while we're doing the interview. And he must have had it turned way up on the resistance, because you can see him driving the pedals down and his face turning redder and redder as we do the interview. And the Skype was very, very clear audio and video, but a few times it broke up here and there. So we're going to air that coming up later in this hour and into the second hour today with Jim Rogers. And boy, does he know a lot. You know, he was the guy who made George Soros a lot of his money. He was the, quote, partner with George Soros early on who increased the wealth of the funds they managed by 4,600% in the same period that the S&P and other indexes went up less than 60%. So very, very interesting. And he basically broke down the crony capitalism, whereas somebody like himself over decades made billions of dollars. Now these big hedge fund managers can make personally $5-6 billion a year. And again, that's crony capitalism that is going on. Also, sometime today, well, before Hinkle even joins us, an hour and a half from now, now an hour and 15 minutes from now, I've got to just briefly comment on the Jesse Ventura, David Icke controversy that's going on. And I read this last night, and I want to read it again because I had a highlighted copy or a marked copy at home on the points I wanted to make, and I forgot it. So I'm going to have to reread this during a break to make my points about these two men and hopefully stop them from getting into a war with each other that is only destructive for those of us that are investigating liberty and freedom. I think both men are good people. In fact, I know both men are good people, even though I may disagree with both of them on some issues. And it was a comedy of error that caused this, because I can read Icke's article and see how he thought he was seeing one thing and really it was another. Because, well, I'm going to have a message to David Icke especially coming up. Okay, so coming up later in the hour. Because I could call David up on the phone and tell him this, but I think it's just better. I think it's just better to address Ventura and David Icke together at the same time on air, because they got into a big argument and there was a big fracas. And I can tell you that the Ventura camp did not intend this to happen, is not happy. They called me last night. And they've already interviewed Icke two seasons ago, and it was very positive. And I have been embroiled in the middle of this. I'm in this article, so I don't normally get into this stuff, but these two guys are, you know, towers of alternative thought, and for whatever reason, they've garnered the attention. See, and so we can't have them fighting with each other. Just like I said some bad things about David Icke 12 years ago because I was asked about it. I said he was a turd in a punch bowl. And see, I'm already covering this now. I'm going to comment on it later. And the point is that was destructive. And so I apologize for it. David is welcome to his opinion, and he is a very intelligent person, and I mean, all these religions out there believe things wackier than what he does, and so that was wrong, because so much of what he does, I know, is documented, and he's very well-spoken, very charismatic, and has woken a lot of people up. A lot of the fruits of David Icke are very, very positive, and I've talked to him, a lot, and I think he's a good guy. Same thing with Ventura. And now these two are in a big fight with each other. So I'll comment at the bottom of the hour. It's pretty soon. I'll have time to read the article again because I had all these points I wanted to make. I wanted to address each area. And so in the next two breaks, I'll have time to read this. It's titled Jesse Ventura, Pet Detective. I must read. So I'm gonna reread over that and comment on it. And again, normally I don't get into infighting and stuff like that, but these guys are both really, you know, big icons in alternative thought, and it's just destructive to have them fighting. And then their supporters and admirers and people fighting with each other. So I'm gonna address it because it's educational on other fronts, and it's important to try to get these guys to make up and be friends, I think. Okay, wow, where do I start? Let me just do this. Mini, miny, mini, mo. I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stacks here. Well, that's an unlucky number of stacks. You guys better bring me some more stacks in there so I have more than 13. Maybe I miscounted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stacks. Well, I won't be superstitious. Hey, we already didn't get on air the first 5 minutes. The crew did a great job. They had some piece of equipment have a heart attack right as the show began and had to be power cycled. And so that took a few minutes. So I guess 13 is unlucky. Man, where do you start with all the craziness? Where do you begin? Where do I begin? Let's just start here. Chemotherapy could cause brain damage in breast cancer patients. Really? You mean ingesting a whole bunch of bug poison that they charge you $10,000 a month for or more? You mean that might be bad for your brain and the rest of your body? Really? The Daily Mail reports here. And then let's get into the pedophile culture here, since we're looking at Penn State. 4 going on 40, daycare owner, 72, convicted of sexually abusing toddler, says he did it because she was so promiscuous. And just look at that goblin-like creature. Here's another one. This is out of the Sun. Menendez, cop axed for boy sex claim. This is the guy that reportedly executed one of the witnesses to what was really going on the 7/7 London bombings, and he runs around bragging about having sex reportedly with 14-year-olds. We have the latest on Penn State, world news, the economy, straight ahead.
Why the unions are big businessmen, and they're going out like a dinosaur.
Okay, we're back live. If you go back to 7/7, there was an electrician named Charles Menendez, who the police, for no reason, a day after the 7/7 bombings, ran up to him, jumped on top of him, and unloaded their clips into his head. And then they tried to cover it up and lie about it. And looking at the case with the police involved over the years, over and over again, the police, it turns out, are pedophiles. Or reportedly are pedophiles. Now, either they're pedophiles or they're being set up. I don't know. I mean, that's the one thing that's hard to come back from. It's one of the globalist favorite systems to set you up. So I don't know. But a top cop has been sacked for claiming he had sex with a boy 14, the Sun can reveal. Chief Inspector John Duffy boasted about carrying out the vile act to a stranger he met on a gay dating website. And it just goes over that. Now, Sandusky has come out and gone on NBC News via telephone, and his lawyer has also made statements, and he's saying, yes, I horsed around and might have hugged people in the shower. Yes, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds people, taking them into the shower to hug on them, and now they're saying, this is what jocks do. Really, I'll assure you, no one was touching each other in the showers when I played football. Everyone kind of, even after years of playing football, kind of just went in, got their shower, grabbed their towel, and covered up. I'll assure you, in the field houses I was in, many years of playing football, there was none of that going on. Zero. Zero. And the coaches were never in there. They didn't even go in that area. They didn't even go in the showers. People taking showers went in the showers. And then I was always getting griped at, too, because I would just go get my parents to pick me up or go home with friends or get on the school bus just absolutely dripping with sweat, stinking like a dead hog. And they'd be like, Jones, you need to take a shower. Because I wanted to go home and take a shower. I did not like it. Now, he's just saying now, oh, he horseplayed. That's what they saw. He was just grabbing on the little boys. Guilty as sin. What a disgusting defense. His house is right behind an elementary school playground. Right there where he can look over the fence. His autobiography is called Touched. The prosecutor who was investigating this is believed dead and gone for 6 years. The sports reporter for the local paper that broke the story says there's more, and the reports are they were bringing donors in, of course, if you're raping people in the shower, folks, fondling kids, whatever, whatever, and then the school covers it up, you better believe it's well known. He founded this charity, remember that, for disadvantaged youth who no one's going to believe. They've got problems. Don't believe them. Continuing, here's another one. Sandusky lawyer impregnated a teen. That's right, and then married her. No one, everyone thought he was just her lawyer, basically getting her declared an adult, but it turned out she was already pregnant with his child. Interesting, just interesting. You know, just friends helping each other out a little bit there on that front. And then I bring you this article out of WFAA out of Dallas. Also the Dallas Morning News here and CBS TV. I bring you this. I heard a local talk show host talking about how great it was this morning that two Occupy Wall Street people, a man and a woman who are homeless because of the economy, had a nine-month-old baby, and they've taken the baby, and now they're trying to get the baby to family or to friends, and the judge says CPS has to come investigate family or friends before this could happen. And the host was basically implying that wasn't even good, and the state should just take the child. Really, the child is light years safer living on the street. I'd actually grow up to be a strong child. Many of our forebears grew up as homeless children, like Andrew Jackson. Homeless by the time he was 12. Family killed by the Redcoats. Living in the woods. Made him the man he was later. The point is, they were taking care of the child. They were trying to save their money to get back into a place. As the economy implodes, are they going to take your children when it happens? And I just want to tell those talk show hosts, I dare not try to call in because the screener will recognize my voice, that the CPS is 17 times more likely to abuse children than anyone else. Pull up the government's own numbers. 5 times more likely to physically abuse them, beat them. Now, you go pull those numbers up. We've written articles about it just last week. And remember that. You get up there all proudly. Yeah, just take their kids. They're scum. Oh, yeah? And give them to a bunch of piranhas. Oh, in that tank, half the CPS may not be piranhas, but the other half are.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got the head of the Libertarian Party, the chairman, joining us. We get his view on election 2012 and the sorry excuse for candidates the Republicans and Democrats are putting forward, with the exception of Ron Paul and Gary Johnson. Then we will also have Webster Griffin Tarpley on, and then some phone calls towards the end of the final hour, perhaps even before that. Let me just give you a smattering of some of the news I've got here, because I got stuck on the disgusting Sandusky spiderweb behavior that's going on. Eurozone breakup, still a worst-case scenario. That's being reported by CNBC. They say, give us total power by the megabanks to set up an undemocratic dictatorship, a technocracy, their words, not mine, and that will fix things. Tyranny is the answer, and Newsweek says the Constitution is the problem. Remember that a few months ago? And I actually hear people going, the Constitution did this. Capitalism failed. Freedom failed. No, we threw that out the door, and then everything degenerated. But some of the public are just so willfully ignorant, so incredibly dumb. I mean, once you get into the real world, get into geopolitics, get into finance, get into economics, get into history, it is addicting. And the more you know, the less that you do know. But compared to people that think they know it all, oh my gosh, these aren't even children. I talk to insurance company executives. I talk to scientists. I talk to lawyers. And they, most of them, know nothing because they specialize in one area. They want to get out of work. They want to hit the golf course. They want to hit the liquor. They want to get home and play video games or watch SportsCenter. They are not even living. They are just cogs in a machine. Not me and not my house. Never, 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 never. The animating contest of liberty is mine. I will have it. I will have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I want to know the secrets of the universe. I want the species to survive. I'll never know the secrets, but my progeny, if we survive, will. If it takes 1,000 generations, we will transcend the globalist scum. We will transcend the New World Order. So we got that report. China state media slams Obama over currency remarks, where Obama said they should raise the value of their currency so that U.S. exports can be helped. It's like trying to plug holes in the sinking Titanic. Also, falling house prices trap first-time homeowners. Well, that was the whole setup. That was the whole plan. So the depression by design. All right, let me just mention some of the other news coming up here. DOJ wants to criminalize uploading YouTube videos. I'm not kidding. Even CNET, or CBS's online system, Declan McCullough is reporting that. Racketeering charges for violating websites' terms of service, all under administrative law. Incredible. Continuing, FDA allows controversial meat and produce to be blasted with radioactive nuclear waste. That's right. Treated with virus cocktails. They spray them with live viruses. Can't make that stuff up. Obamacare. Again, moving forward, they think the Supreme Court may actually approve it. Then we have this report. Ground-to-air missiles could be deployed at London Olympics. Oh, all part of the fear-mongering to make you think the planes are all going to be hijacked when that whole thing was staged. And then, meanwhile, real al-Qaeda was given control of Libya and given 2,000 high-tech shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles. And at least 8,000 other low-tech ones themselves that could shoot down aircraft. The low-tech, they got to send, sit a mile from the airport where planes are at 4,000 feet, blow them out of the air. It's just a targeting system. It's basically point and shoot, and you just hope that you aim right. But 2,000 that will lock in on the engine heat signature up to 10,000 feet in the air, with dead-on precision, 15,000 feet with the type of missile they got, with moderate precision. And so they just flip it on, aim it. Target light starts beeping that it's acquired the heat signature, and bye-bye, bye-bye, 777. Bye-bye, 747 stretch. Bye-bye. But that's not an issue. See, real threats, they never hype. Because it's great. If stuff gets blown up, they'll just take more of your rights. TSA will just set up more checkpoints on the highway randomly. Let's just randomly set them up here and see if we catch a jihadi with a missile. But wait, you gave them the missiles. Shut up, you hate America. Really, you're the ones destroying America. You're the big megabanks. Shut up, traitor. Oh, boy. So we've got that. And then listen to this little giblet. No, this isn't Infowars.com. This isn't PrisonPlanet.com. I want to show folks a document cam of this. Secret farm bill primed for passage in debt deal. All the major spending bills, which are basically almost every bill in Congress, any bill that matters is connected to spending. They don't come out of the House now. It comes out of the Senate and House, six members of each. That violates the Constitution. Spending bills are to come from individual House members and go through the committee process for full vetting, and it's supposed to come out of the House of Representatives. But now it comes out of the Senate. Remember Pelosi this year trying to do spending bills, and the year before last? They were trying to bring, Pelosi was even defending bills brought out of the Senate by Harry Reid to the House for spending that originated there. Totally unconstitutional. Well, now they're just coming out and saying, yeah, the super committee, it will decide everything. and the rest of the House, they don't get to vote on it. They can vote it up or down once the super committee's written the bill and approved it. And you don't need other, you know, committees or anything anymore, or even bill readings. And then it will just be passed on from that point to the House and Senate. And if they don't vote it up or down in a vote, then it goes back to the super committee and whatever they want is done. This is dictatorship of this committee of 13, because the president's the 13th member. I'm going to get into that coming up as well. This super committee is just so incredible. Now, continuing here, I want to speak now directly to Jesse Ventura and David Icke. And sure, I can call both men up on the phone and talk to them, but I want to basically talk to both of them here at one time and give them my two cents, and they can listen to it or they can ignore it. But David Icke put out a report yesterday that I didn't see till last night, and it's caused quite a fracas. Jesse Ventura, Pet Detective, a must-read. And it's up at davidicke.com. And so here's my message to both of them. David, you know that they interviewed you for the first season of Conspiracy Theory on Secret Societies. It was the first time there was ever a national TV show that was anti-Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, Illuminati. And you were interviewed and presented as an expert with gravitas. You were treated with respect. That piece is public. I'm sure you've seen it. So let me just bring that in as evidence, number one. Number two, you are both good people that I know, and even if I disagree with some of what both of you believe, it doesn't mean that we're enemies. It doesn't mean that we can't all have our views. Many of David Icke's views, he's insightful, he's charismatic, he's very intelligent. A lot of what he's talked about has come true. He talks about some really wild stuff, but truth is stranger than fiction. I'm not saying I'm sold on some of it, but a lot of what he covers is mirrored in religions of the world and history. He just has a different interpretation of it. And it's a lot less wacky than what some other religions push. So my question is, why do people get so upset about what David Icke covers? Okay? Now, on the subject of Ventura, people are asking, well, Alex, what are you talking about? And I've been embroiled in this. I've been mentioned in this several times. And so I'm going to cover it here briefly and then go to our Jim Rogers interview, at least parts of it, ahead of our guests joining us. The interview I did last night that we're premiering here on the radio today, and also we'll stream it at prisonplanet.tv. There aren't many people in the world that are prominent who will cover hard subjects and who will delve into things with an open mind. There aren't many people who have large followings that are well-known and who can reach a giant audience anytime they want. Jesse Ventura can do it. I can do it. David Icke can do it. Who else is there at that level? And I was responsible partially for waking Ventura up 6 years ago and giving him information and material. His son Tyrell had already primed the pump. But I was instrumental in bringing Ventura completely over to a full awakening to the fact that this is a big lie. Doesn't mean Ventura has all the answers, or I do, or Icke does. And I know that he is a good guy who's waking up and learning a lot and has a really good chance to even wake up more and reach tens of millions of people. And so we can't have David Icke and Jesse Ventura fighting with each other because of a comedy of errors. And that's my message, and then I'm just going to finish up briefly here, to Jesse Ventura and to David Icke. This is a comedy of errors. I have been on probably 15 shoots with Jesse Ventura in the last two seasons and this season of Conspiracy Theory. When they're out in the field and we're at some government facility or something, it's live, it's 100% real, it's happening. But when you sit down to do an interview, sometimes the camera guys and lighting guys will take 2 hours to get ready. I've been there many times and Ventura's like, come on, let's get this done. And then he'll just kind of rant and rave about the New World Order and police state and stuff and issues. I mean, he's a real person. He's really passionate behind the scenes about these issues. He'll talk to a waiter. He'll talk to troops at the airport. He will sit there and talk at people. And so what happened is Ventura rode the train for a day to get there to meet in Cleveland, Ohio, with David Icke, where he was speaking. And in reality TV, they do not want the people that are about to meet beforehand because they want it to be real. And so Ventura gets down there, and he's in one room, and right next to it's Icke. They're keeping him apart. He hears Ventura for an hour talking about issues. Icke is feeling like, Icke says, well, I'd like to go in and meet him. Ike's a nice guy. He's like, I'd like to go meet him. You know, and they're like, no, you can't meet with him now because it's just some, you know, mid-level or low-level, you know, person who's keeping the schedule. You know, and that's what he says in the article. It's like, no, sorry, not right now. Didn't tell him why. So he sits there for over an hour hearing Ventura right in the next room, you know, basically saying, hurry it up and this new world order and, you know, ranting about issues. And then Ventura comes in. And they sit down and they start doing the interview. And Ventura's like, give me bullet points. Boil it down. And Icke's like, come to my nine-hour thing. And Ventura's like, I can't. I got to get back on my, you know, train. And Icke's, well, then why? And then Ventura, and it's all described here, is like, come on. You know, tell me, you know, when'd you see a lizard person? And Icke wants to get all into history and Sumerian texts and Garden of Eden and all this stuff, and that it's interdimensional or spiritual or whatever. And there's basically like a blow up is basically what he says. And he just got up and left. Now, I get a call last night from the Ventura camp. I'll just leave it at that. And they were upset. And they weren't even asking me to call Icke for them or what they should do. They were just telling me, have you heard about this? And I said, no, I haven't heard about it. And so I pulled up the article and read it. And I said, well, what I think you ought to do is contact David Icke, because there's not many people at this level trying to wake folks up. We don't need people fighting with each other. I said, I called him turd in a punch bowl 12 years ago. It was wrong. I apologized for it. We need to maybe do a Skype interview since he's gone back to England, where, you know, we could say we decided to, you know, try one more time with Icke and then let Icke somehow boil it down for him. Because, you know, Icke will end up being in the TV show like 3-4 minutes. So that's why they were like, you know, give it to us quick here. Crystallize it. And Icke's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, speaking to David Icke, reading his article, he's like, first, the arrogant one, Ventura, sits there for an hour making me wait, blabbering. Well, no, that's because Ventura is so real. He's in there talking about the New World Order. Then, Braverman wanted me to sign the release form first because this was obviously a setup. And I could see how it looked like a setup. No, they always want people to sign a release form in case something happens in the interview. And Ventura is going to ask hard questions. But that's just standard for TV. And David Icke was a national TV host. He knows that. But I can understand how this all looks. And then he also, the one thing Icke does that isn't fair, and I understand David was upset, so I'm not attacking him. I've said things that I think are a little bit, you know, off color. He says, oh, they keep mentioning, you know, on TV how he was a Navy SEAL. Well, sorry, you know, don't Navy SEALs kill people? I don't think that's good. I'm not into killing people. Well, by the way, Jesse's anti-war and anti-offensive war. So he's not into killing people either. Basically, I know Ventura. Sometimes he gets in kind of a grumpy mood. I'm sure that's what was going on. Icke had been super ill, so ill he almost didn't do the interview with us. And he still did the interview the day before, did the interview with them, and both guys aren't going to be pushed around, and they just clashed. Two tough guys, because, you know, Icke back in his day was a tough guy and champion soccer player, and, you know, I've read about him and stuff. He's not a wimp. And so the whole deal is you get two tough guys together, they start arguing, Icke thinks it's a setup, it blows up, but Icke... And I mentioned here, he says, well, Alex said it was going to be a nice, friendly piece, and I'm sure Alex meant well and is correct. He says, I have no doubt that Alex believed what he said to be true. But the problem was, you know, something else happened. David, you were on their show 2 years ago, and it was totally positive. What's happened here, David, is that Ventura is nervous covering these subjects, but he's covered all the hardcore things that can be proven. People want to hear this covered. And so this season, some of their episodes are subjects that Ventura isn't entirely comfortable with. So he's going to put you on the hot seat. And I always see David shine on the hot seat on international television and things. So David was sick. Ventura was in a grumpy mood. You guys need to get back on the phone, be friends, and not have this piece come out with the blow up and all this just because it makes interesting TV. It needs to, you guys need to be friends and agree to disagree and not let this happen so that all of your supporters on both sides start fighting with each other over this. Let's not divide and conquer here. I understand David's issue. We all need to be friends. That's what I have to say.
With new financial domino.
Through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we are back live. I'm going to start in this segment and for about 15 minutes in the next hour air part of our Jim Rogers interview we did yesterday. Of course, the billionaire investor, hedge fund guru, the guy that is credited with really helping George Soros dominate the markets early on, Guinness Book of World Record holder. We're going to be going to part of that interview I did last night. The whole thing's posted at prisonplanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. And by the way, there's just not the nightly news. There's all my films and so much more, almost 9 years of material at prisonplanet.tv. We got a 15-day free trial running until the end of the month, and then we're going to end it. 15-day free trial right now at prisonplanet.tv. And I'm running a special through Christmas that I've never offered before, and it will end after Christmas or around Christmas. It's a Christmas special. 18 of my films that are on DVD for $99.95, a $260 discount. And the small profit we make does fund this operation. So InfoWars.com, you can do all your Christmas or holiday shopping at one fell swoop. Buy a couple of these and you really could. 18 gifts, and it comes with a citizen rule book and more. Available at InfoWars.com. Okay, part of this is my intro to Jim Rogers. Then we'll go to break as he's introduced, come back, and just continue airing it into the next hour. Then I'll get into all this other news we've mentioned. Let's go ahead and go to the Jim Rogers interview from last night on the fact that it's a foregone conclusion, total global meltdown. Accurately predicted. I've got some of the news articles here and what he sees coming up in the future. His latest best-selling book is A Gift to My Children, A Father's Lessons for Life and Investing. Of course, you can also go to his website, Jim Rogers, that's ROGERS.com. And he's also a Guinness Book of World Record holder on multiple fronts. We'll get him to talk some about that. Now, he joins us here while he's on his exercise bike in the beautiful, semi-tropical environs of Singapore. And so we turn now to Jim Rogers joining us here at InfoWars Nightly News. Jim, thank you for joining us.
I am delighted. And yes, it is Singapore. We're on the equator. In Singapore, it's either always hot or always hot and rainy.
Well, I tell you, I've probably watched you 300 times on national television, Fox, CNBC, you name it, but I don't think I've ever seen you on a exercise bike. So we're honored that you're doing this with us.
Well, I'm delighted. I'm multitasking. I try to get two things done at once. So if I fall off the bike, you'll be the first to know.
Okay, Jim. Wow. Now, listen, there's a lot of stuff written in the press. I want to make sure this is accurate. A few days ago, a bunch of reports came out that you said global collapse, a done deal. What's your view on the world economy right now and where it's going?
Well, Alex, every 4 to 6 years in America, we've had a slowdown or a recession. Ever since the Republic, the beginning of the Republic. So we're overdue for one, the end of 2011, 2012, 2013. So it always happens. It's going to happen again, despite what politicians or central bankers tell you. The next time around, it's going to be very bad. Just as, 2002, we had a slowdown. 2008, it was much worse. 2012, 2013 is going to be worse still because we shot all our bullets. I mean, the U.S. cannot quadruple its debt again. We cannot print more money again, staggering amounts of money again. So it's going to be a mess, a huge mess. There's nothing we can do about it.
Now, let's talk about, because I know you don't like to toot your own horn, but I've printed up a bunch of news articles here. I remember you 3-4 years ago saying what they did wasn't going to work, that you'd see all sorts of currencies going down globally, that commodities...
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I've printed up a bunch of news articles here. I remember you 3-4 years ago saying what they did wasn't going to work, that you'd see all sorts of currencies going down globally, that commodities was the place to go, and gold's gone from $300 to $1,800, silver's gone from $5 to $30-plus dollars. You're saying get into farmland. Toot your own horn, though, just so people can understand why you made the predictions you did. Quite a bit of what you predicted's come true. Break down how you were able to make those predictions, and then what you see coming in the near future, and then even the medium term.
Well, Alex, partly because of I know what's happened before in the world, in the early 1990s, Japan had a problem like this. They refused to let people fail. They propped everybody up. You remember the term zombie banks, zombie companies? Well, it's 21 years later. Japan is still suffering because they didn't accept reality. They didn't take the pain. The Japanese stock market is down 80%. That's 80% in the last 21 years because they refused to accept reality. America's going to have the same problem. We're going to try to prop everybody up. That does not work. In Sweden, at the same time, 21 years ago, in Scandinavia, I should say, they took the pain. It was horrible for 2 years, 3 years. But since then, after starting over, taking the losses, taking the pain, Scandinavia's had a wonderfully vibrant and dynamic economy. It just doesn't work to prop up failure, to reward incompetence. You have to, that's what capitalism is all about. Competent people come in, take over the failed assets from the failed people and start over. What we're doing in America, we're taking the assets away from the competent people, giving them to the incompetent people and saying, okay, guys, now you can compete with the competent people with their money. It's outrageous morality. Not that politicians care about morality. But it's horrible economics. It cannot and will not work.
Well, I'm certainly no rocket scientist. I mean, I'm not a guy that's made people tens of billions of dollars like yourself and, you know, has a 30-40-year track record of doing it. But studying economics, studying history, when you see a bunch of countries start basically turning up the printing presses and then paying for the garbage derivatives with more printing press money, it seems like I've seen all these third world countries go that direction. So correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, is that why basically you're saying that there's no way to turn this around? Or what are some of the other factors that feed into that?
Well, Alex, the cure for too much debt is not more debt, although in Washington, they seem to think, well, we had too much consumption, too much debt, so let's solve that problem with more consumption and more debt. I mean, it's astonishing that grown-ups would say something like that out loud. If it were that simple, every country in the world would be prosperous, but what's always happened is you pile up debt, that fails, and then they start printing money. If all you had to do was pile up debt and print money, Zimbabwe would be the richest country in the world right now. Many countries would be extremely rich. It doesn't work. Economics is pretty simple. If you spend money you don't have, you either pay it back or go bankrupt or suffer the consequences. We've already had one lost decade in America. We're going to have two, three, four. I don't know how many lost decades we're going to have until we accept reality.
Okay, then just to be clear, then, you are saying that a global financial collapse is a foregone conclusion, no way to turn it around, no way to stop it now?
Well, I'm saying yes. We're going to, the next time we have a recession, and we're going to have one, I guarantee you, it's going to be worse than anything we've experienced in the last few decades.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Tuesday, the 15th day of November 2011. The chairman of the Libertarian Party is scheduled to be joining us coming up here at the bottom of the hour. And an investigative journalist, historian, and economist, Webster Tarpley, traveled to Syria. He'll be reporting live from Syria with us. Coming up for a little bit of the third hour, then to your phone calls. We've got just some incredible news here with the Occupy Wall Street ousted. Look at this headline out of the New York Post. NYPD Raiders roust Occupy Wall Street rabble. Whether you agree or disagree with Occupy Wall Street's general aims, whether they are run by Obama or not, certainly Obama tried to take them over, calling American demonstrators rabble is disgusting. And apparently you can only occupy other countries, not this one. I mean, I thought America was a free speech zone. And I have confirmed, and I want to do a report on this, I've confirmed here in Austin and in New York, and I'm getting the documentation together, that the police were ordered going back over a month ago in early October that when they arrest homeless for sleeping under bridges or release them out of jail for disorderly conduct or release them out of mental institutions, they're telling them, go to the Occupy camp, there's free food there, and you're allowed to stay there. And that's why it totally degenerated into, even if they had porta potties, the homeless are drunk out of their mind or whatever, some of them, defecating on the ground, all this, you know, TB showing up. What do you think's in the prisons? They're saying they got to shut these down because TB showed up. Okay, well, what's going on in the prisons? And I watch video. We got some of them posted at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com of the police just beating the snot out of people for no reason and getting off on it. That's what tyranny looks like. It'd be one thing if the police are ordered to and they're saying, you know, they've been there too long or whatever to try to move people out of an area, but they are enjoying in the mob psychology attacking people. And the New York Post calls them rabble. Rabble means a organization or group of criminals and ne'er-do-wells, people that are not held in high regard in society, scum. And they're just generally saying protesters are scum. In fact, guys, let me get the exact definition. Will you? I know we're about to go back to the Jim Rogers video, but later I'll actually give you the definition of rabble, but the one I gave you is pretty darn good. Just total demonization. Meanwhile, see, once tyrants break the Bill of Rights and Constitution or the Constitution of the country that was protecting the people, once you convert to an oppressive system of all the different flavors of it, it certainly is 31 flavors or more, then the descent accelerates. You'll see more tyranny in a year once corruption's really taken over than you saw in the previous 100. And now, and this is how I read their announcement, it was a different than just a super committee. It was a super Congress, 12 members, spending bills originate from them now, not from the House. The House and Senate can vote it up or down, but then if they don't vote for it, it just goes back to the super committee, who then automatically puts into place whatever they already agreed on. That is so incredible. That is dictatorship hidden in plain view. And people go, well, no, the Congress gets to vote. It's just if they don't do what the Super Congress says, then they go ahead with the automatic spending cuts that they decide where to place them. But you notice that they never say cut the tens of trillions given to foreign bankers. It's always raise taxes, cut spending to pay it to the bankers who got us into this mess. As they now admit, private corporate bank of the world dictatorship being set up in Europe. That's not Alex Jones. That's London Telegraph, Associated Press, Time Magazine. But they're saying it's good. So secret farm bill primed for passage in debt deal. You're not allowed to see it. Remember 5 years ago, Bush's third amnesty plan? And they said, it's not amnesty, but you can't see it. Remember that in the news? So incredible. And then Senator Sessions leaked it. They threatened to censure him, but they couldn't for doing his job. Let those criminals try that. And what was Senator Sessions' piece called on his website? The 20 smoking guns, and then he went over the 20 loopholes of it, and it said, well, they're right, it isn't amnesty, it's total amnesty for even aggravated felons. They sign a pledge to not commit aggravated felonies again. Aggravated felonies, that's knocking you on the head, raping people, armed robbery, arson, aggravated. It's not just a crime, you did it with a gun, you did it with a club, you beat somebody over the head. That's why I don't respect this government. It's not real, because they openly release criminals and then throw the book at citizens with made-up garbage. So we're going to get to that. Let's go back, though, now to the guy that's made tens of billions of dollars through his big hedge funds, a guy who's probably called the markets as accurate or more accurate than anybody out there, Jim Rogers. We'll get to more of this interview that I did last night on InfoWars Nightly News. The whole thing's posted at PrisonPlanet.tv. Here it is. Okay. Then just to be clear, then, you are saying that a global financial collapse is a foregone conclusion, no way to turn it around, no way to stop it now?
I'm saying yes. The next time we have a recession, and we're going to have one, I guarantee you, it's going to be worse than anything we've experienced in the last few decades because of the staggering amounts of debt that have been built up in the U.S. and in Europe. Now, there's a way. Sure, we could take an alternative course. We could accept reality. We could let people fail. All those guys on Wall Street should have failed. The idea that they're still driving their Lamborghinis is outrageous. As far as I'm concerned, they're all getting their bonuses. Outrageous, as far as I'm concerned. You and I are paying for it. We could do that. We could let them fail. We could take our pain, admit our mistakes. It would be very bad for 2 or 3 years, Alex. There's no question. It would be a mess. But the alternative is to have 10, 20, 30 years of more lost decades and lost years from our lives.
All right, Jim Rogers is our guest. We're honored to have him, and a premiere interview with him on the exercise bike. I'm actually loving this. I think this is pretty media worthy, and again, we appreciate your time and joining us. Shifting gears to North America, I know you're out in Singapore now, and later I'll ask you why you're there and your prognosis in this global meltdown for Asia versus Europe, North America, Latin America, Africa, you know, basically your global perspective and what you're investing in right now. But here at home, Ron Paul predicted all of this 30 years ago on sound Austrian economics. I know that you study a little bit as well. And now he is being demonized, and that's when he's lucky. They've done scientific studies now that show that he's getting the least amount of time at the debates, that when he does get coverage, it's negative, also when he wins first, second, or third place, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, now CBS will not show him in the poll rankings. So if he gets number one, they say number two was number one. Or if he gets number three, they skip him and move number four into number three. And we just caught CBS over the weekend doing it again. It became a national news story, but wait, it gets better. It was a 90-minute debate, Jim, but only an hour was televised. Of the televised debate, he was given 90 seconds. And it turns out a memo came out when Rick Perry was given, I don't know, like 8 minutes, Mitt Romney more than 10. I mean, if this isn't a rigged horse race, what's your view on that and why they're scared of Ron Paul?
Well, it's clear, and I've read the same things you have, it's clear that they're biased against Ron Paul. I don't know why. I guess the only reason is because he's the only one who talks good sense. He's the only one who knows how to solve the problems. I happen to agree with nearly everything he said and have for a long time. And it's just so different to what all these journalists have been brought up reading and believing and writing. I mean, they all go to the same the same schools where they're taught Keynes and failure. And so they think that this guy, who's got a different view, must be, and let's ignore him. Unfortunately for them, he's the only one, not the only one, but he's one of the few who's got it right. And somebody, I don't know if the electorate will get it in time, but he's one of the few who knows what has to be done.
Jim, looking at history, looking at geopolitical movements, looking at finance that you've studied so long and investment so accurately, and that's the real gauge of a tree is its fruits. Your fruits have been very successful and stable over a long period of time. Well, seriously, looking into your crystal ball, I mean, and then looking at the United States, it's clear they're not going to listen to Ron Paul. He is the only one of those Republicans that is talking sense, and one of only a few prominent people in the U.S. talking sense. The establishment wants to go the same direction, crony capitalism, insiders being guaranteed by the public, so much you and Congressman Paul have talked about. And now the elite are financing the welfare class to be their political army to demand more and more off the tit. And I see historically real calamities, real collapse, real social unrest here in the U.S. Obama has already tried to sick the Occupy Wall Street people on the middle class, claiming, you know, that he's anti-corruption in Wall Street when he's financed by it. So what do you see for America and Europe? I mean, do you see a lot of really unstable things happening? Because it's clear they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to Ron Paul. They know you're right. It's why they're scared of you. So is this ship going to hit the iceberg? What's going to happen? What do you see? Where do you see America in 5 years?
Well, first, there's also a guy named Gary Johnson who is running for nomination. He seems to get it, too, as well. I mean, not he hasn't been as prominent so long as Ron has. But he also seems to get it. But what's going to happen? That's what I've said many times. There's going to be more social unrest all over the world. We've already had some governments fail and some countries fail.
You know, this whole Sandusky situation at Penn State is just a tiny window into the world of the globalists and the New World Order. They are a collection of degenerate scum. A lot of them have different taste, but they all want to carry out crime against humanity. It is their twisted lot in life. They are the minority. They are white, they are black, they are German, they are Chinese, they are Jewish, they are Arabic, they are Mexican, they are Japanese. But they are all part of their own culture of wickedness, and they are waging war against free humanity. That's why I don't get into people's religions, people's race. The system tries to play us off against each other. I look at the contents of individuals' minds, what they stand for, what they believe in. And the globalist, looking at this Newt Gingrich situation, I'm going to talk to the head of the Libertarian Party about this in a moment. Looking at this Newt Gingrich situation, And I'm going to do reports this week into next week on this. They are now saying he is the front runner, even above Mitt Romney. Globalist Council on Foreign Relations professor picked by the globalist in Georgia to run for Congress to kill the Republican conservative revolution of 94. He wrote the foreword and sections of two books, bestsellers by Alvin and Heidi Toffler. That's where he was discovered by the establishment, and they got him to run for Congress. And, you know, I've actually got one of the books here. I'm going to go dig it out later. In fact, a few weeks ago, I meant to cover it, but he was still so low. And I said, watching power surge, because these most of these polls are fake, the system's going to bring him in. They're really pushing him right now. But he wrote in those books, he said, America's got to get rid of its sovereignty and be part of a new world order global government. But he sold it like it was technology and the future and the information age. Yes, a technocracy. Technology's neutral, at least at this form of its development. But it's being puppeteered towards evil. And then every time I mention he supports carbon taxes, I get emails saying I'm a liar. Well, look, if you don't know that, I can't help you, okay? I mean, you could just type into Google, to the NSA search engine, Newt Gingrich promotes carbon taxes, or Newt Gingrich promotes global warming. And you'll see him in speeches, at dinners. You'll see TV ads he did with Nancy Pelosi. It's got to be COINTELPRO. People aren't that stupid. I get emails and see articles saying, I'm lying, they don't throw troops' bodies in landfills. Even when it's in the mainstream news. They just attack whatever I say. So fine. I told you a year ago, that Rick Perry was Al Gore's chief of staff in Texas, supported gun control, supported sanctuary cities, went to Bilderberg Group, doubled the size of the state of Texas, NAFTA, GATT, Gardasil, and on a bunch of those people said, that's not true, he didn't work for Al Gore. That's not true, he didn't do this and that. And I just was like, yeah, he did. And I gave the documentation, and then later it got picked up by the national media, and Rick Perry is in deep political trouble and having some type of weird meltdown. Newt Gingrich is perhaps even worse than Rick Perry. Not that I thought it was possible. I mean, look, Al Gore, horrible. Bill Clinton, terrible. Barack Obama, just absolutely evil. They're all bad. There's one person, he's an older gentleman. They make fun of his suit being too big, but his mind is great. His knowledge is great. He's a true statesman, a true humanitarian, Ron Paul. And I've got all the articles here today. Gingrich takes the lead. Public policy polling. They average together his negatives and positives. He takes the lead against Kane, then Romney, Perry, Bachman, Paul, Huntsman, Santorum, and Johnson. Now, in all the polls I've seen, Paul's been second, third, or fourth, and we showed last night a new CBS piece. But I've got to call Watson about that because it's up on PrisonPlanet.tv. A listener pointed it out. Or CBS, when Ron Paul won the poll, removed it and then just said that he wasn't even in the rankings. Caught him again, 89 seconds, and then people try to play games. They go, Alex, the clip you played was over 2 minutes long. What do you mean, 89 seconds? We taped it. Did you not read the description on the video? Did you not hear what I said? The televised debate on CBS was 60 minutes. There's a CBS memo admitting he was to be given 90 seconds. It's all confirmed. Yes, he was given a minute or so more once it went off TV for just the internet, and the audience was much smaller. But the televised debate, he was given 89 seconds. I'm going to say it again. So again, they try to twist everything that we say. They analyze it all, twist it, and then shove it out there to say we're lying. It's confirmed by the memo he was given 90 seconds, which he took 89 seconds of. So don't try to weasel out of that by saying, no, he had 2 minutes and 10 seconds. In the televised part, he had 89 seconds. 89 seconds. We got to go after Newt Gingrich now. They're going to keep just bringing new puppets in, knowing you'll wake up to them, and then they'll move on to another puppet who they can...
What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another one in your place? You're the pretender. What if I say I would never surrender?
Ladies and gentlemen, we launched a major offensive yesterday. I'm going to tell you about that, and then we're going to go to Mark Hinkle, the national chairman of the Libertarian Party, the only third party that's got ballot access in all the states right now. So looking at 2012, we're going to discuss Ron Paul, the Libertarian Party, Jesse Ventura, a lot more, and where the Libertarian Party sees this country going. I see a huge awakening for liberty. But we're going to get his take because he obviously has got a lot of boots on the ground and talks to great libertarian activists and citizens all over this fine nation. Before I go any further, for much of a year, we had the Google bomb that a listener recommended, and over 70 times, I should have done it more if I would have known they could have created an algorithm to defeat us, where we could have the top Google searches that would then cause every time hundreds of articles, blogs, and newspapers to write about whatever term we put out there. Google admittedly rewrote their entire system on ranking and made major changes to stop it. I mean, that's the effect we're having. They admittedly were questioned by major publications about it, and they said, well, we're going to do something about it, and they did. To the point of now, even when things organically go up the charts, they're trying to block it. So we did a Twitter bomb yesterday, or a tweet bomb, truth bomb, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how to gauge it because I don't understand Twitter yet, but we saw just hundreds of thousands of people Twitter the term Infowars.com, and we got additional about 300,000 visitors yesterday on top of the million or so. So it had a big effect. We're still studying this State Department CIA organ, as it's admittedly, just like Google, and we're going to try to find cracks in the defenses to exploit the system. I want to thank all of you for what you've done. We're going to defend the Republic and defend human liberty against the corporate Borg together. Now, also, I want to challenge everybody to intensify the InfoWar in 2011 into 2012. I am offering all of my films that are on DVD, America Destroyed by Design, The Matrix of Terror, The Masters of Terror, The Matrix of Evil, Reflections and Warnings with Aaron Russo, Fall of the Republic, The Obama Deception, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, Terror Storm, The Police State Trilogy, all three films on in one package on three DVDs. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Martial Law, The Order of Death, The Road to Tyranny, 9/11, Chronicles, Truth Rising. And then, of course, my audio CD, The Music of Endgame and Terror Storm. It's excellent, with some rants on it and a free citizen rulebook and bumper stickers. That is all $99.95. And the small profit we make goes into this information warfare system, the nightly news, the syndicated radio show, hiring more reporters, everything we're doing. And you can finish all your Christmas shopping in one fell swoop at InfoWars.com. You can also call toll-free, 888-253-3139. We have also discounted all the bumper sticker packages for a blitz of those posted in legal and lawful places. You can get those at cost right now at InfoWars.com. I will not continue this special forever just because it's totally, I've had to hire more people and it's turned into a huge, huge fiasco in the back because there's so many orders coming in, but it's a good fiasco. So now we're up to speed, got it all shipping out, but you can order those bumper stickers at cost. But I'm only doing that through Christmas just because it's too much of a good thing. Okay, enough said. I want to now shift gears to Mark Hinkle, and he's been in part of the Libertarian Party for more than a decade and just done a great job. Mark4chair.com was the site he had when he was moving to get elected national chairman of the Libertarian Party. And their executive director is Wes Benedict. I've met him. He used to live in Austin. Great guy. And Mark Hinkle joins us because he can really give us his view of how big this awakening is. Obviously, Ron Paul getting even more support and being really a libertarian than he got just 4 years ago. What does that signify? What are they seeing at the state levels? What's their view of 2012 and both the mainstream establishment candidates, Obama, and then the other Republicans? What's his ideas for strategy? Who are some of the people that the state libertarian groups are looking at who they think are some of the people that may run for libertarian president? We're going to discuss it all with Mark Hinkle right now. Mark, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Alex, delighted to be on your show. Appreciate the exposure.
You bet. We appreciate you. So you just heard that diatribe of questions. What do you want to tackle first?
You expect me to remember all of that? Well, I hate to sort of start this off with a correction, but I do need to tell you that we're currently on the ballot in about 29 states, not all 50 states. Now, our goal is 50 state ballot status. But as you can imagine, Republicans and Democrats who control ballot access kind of don't like competition. And, of course, we are the competition. And so last time around in 2008, I think we spent about $500,000 just to get our candidates on the ballot. And in some states, we can't get our candidate on the ballot as a libertarian. We have to run them as an independent.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Obviously, I'm going from the last cycle. I guess you've got to climb the mountain each time again. But I remember reading at the time, you got in 48 states, right, and then had to run them as independent in a couple, or am I wrong?
Yes, exactly. And in the history, we're about to approach our 40th anniversary on December 11th, and in our 40th years, we've managed to gain 100% ballot access, D.C., Guam, et cetera, for three times, and hopefully 2012 would be the fourth time. We have some significant hurdles, and of course these are hurdles that Republicans and Democrats don't typically have to jump over, but they make us and the Greens and U.S. Constitution Party, et cetera, jump over these, which in itself is, I think, blatantly unfair and blatantly undemocratic. But
and by the way, I think the Constitution Party is absolutely fabulous. you know, Aaron Russo and others involved in that also involve the libertarians. But, I mean, from my study, obviously, the most viable, I mean, the one that's got the roots, has the biggest infrastructure, is the libertarians.
Yep. True enough. And we have had that for quite some time. I think right now the U.S. Constitution Party is on the ballot in about 11 states, so we're almost three times ballot access. And we do think, as you said earlier, there's such a resurgence of people who look at the Constitution, value the Constitution, trying to uphold and re-energize the Constitution and bring liberty back to the United States. I think it's pretty darn clear, you know, anybody who's really paying attention, we've evolved into a socialist state. And everywhere around the world where socialism has been tried, it's failed miserably.
Yeah, it's like catching a case of pancreatic cancer or brain cancer. I mean, it never works except for rulers that have armies of black uniformed enforcers.
Right, and even those, you know, tend to fail over time because I think there's just an internal spirit of people seeking freedom, and when tyranny is imposed, people just automatically rebel against it. And we've seen this in the Middle East, and we're seeing it around the world. And I think there is a big resurgence. You know, with Ron Paul, Gary Johnson in the Republican Party, I mean, clearly I think they're setting a lot of the debate because of the issues that they're bringing up. Because, frankly, most Republicans, Democrats would prefer to do a he said, she said, you know, thing. And, hey, I'm a good guy. No, he's a bad guy. Whereas libertarians like to talk issues. And so we actually bring issues to the table that the Republicans, Democrats would prefer not to discuss.
Now, speaking of the Republicans and Democrats, I mean, you look at Ron Paul. He actually raises issues. He's actually super ultra informed. I've probably interviewed Ron Paul 100 times or more, and there's never an article that he isn't already aware of, even if it came out that day. So when people have asked Ron Paul, you know, he reads and scans over about 30 newspapers a day. Now with the internet, he scans that. Highly disciplined, sleeps about 5 hours a night. He is a machine. Obviously, he is an incredible constitutionalist, a founding father material in not my view, in my research, perfect constitutional voting record. He would be the superstar candidate for the libertarians. And Ron Paul has been asked about this. Obviously, right now he's using the Republican Party engine. He has a chance. They've been ignoring him, keeping him down to 89 seconds in the last debate in the televised portion on CBS. But he has said, well, he won't rule out a third party. And I've told him on air, I've told him off air, and we'll be talking to him either tomorrow or sometime next week. He's very busy, but I'm going to bring this up to him. If he doesn't look like he's going to win the primaries by May, then he's got to switch over to a third party to keep issues injected and to try to force his way into the debates. And the only platform and a platform that also fits right into his worldview is the libertarian. So he's on this launch pad right now, but if his rocket doesn't get launched properly, we can just move the Saturn 9 rocket right over and put it on the libertarian launch pad. What's your take on that as the national chairman of the Libertarian Party?
Well, as a chairman, I can't endorse any particular candidate prior to our nominating convention, but we certainly welcome anybody who is serious about freedom. And, you know, Ron Paul in particular, you know, has been our 1988 presidential candidate, and he is a lifetime member still in the Libertarian Party. So, you know, he certainly would be welcome here in the Libertarian Party. As would former Governor Gary Johnson, who was also a dues-paying member of the Libertarian Party back when he was governor of New Mexico. So both of those folks would be very welcome, and we'd love to have them come in and compete for the nomination, and I suspect either one of them would get a very warm reception at our national convention next year in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, that's really well said. I mean, I understand you're staying neutral on this because it's for the libertarians of the nation to choose who they want.
Exactly.
Talk about that process.
So other than the Republicans, Democrats, they typically have the taxpayers fund their primary system. But libertarians think, hey, that's a private organization. selecting their candidates. The taxpayer should not be subsidizing their party activities. So we run our own caucuses and create our own delegates. Our delegates go to our national convention. They pay their own way. I understand Republicans and Democrats get something like $60 million each from the taxpayers in order to fund their convention. We fund it out of our own pockets. Thank you very much. No taxpayer subsidies allowed. And we'll meet, as they say, the first weekend in May in Las Vegas. And the delegates assembled there will listen to all the candidates, and they will pick who our nominee will be for both president and vice president.
So Ron Paul has plenty of time to either win the Republican nomination, you know, be winning in the first primaries or making a good showing so he knows he still has a trajectory to win. At what point, if you were Ron Paul, would you eject out of the Republicans? And this is his last hurrah. He's not running for re-election in the House.
Right.
At what point would you eject and get over there and obviously with no problem take the Libertarian nomination?
Well, here's the key issue with regarding anyone who's running in another primary system. There's about four or five states, and I think Pennsylvania, Ohio, and I think Texas are three of them. And so there's some pretty big states as far as votes are concerned. They have what's called a sore loser laws. So by law, if, say, Ron Paul were to run, say, in a Pennsylvania primary and lose, and then he decided, okay, I'm going to run as a Libertarian, his name for president would not appear on the November ballot. Likewise for Ohio, Texas, and I think there's one or two other states. So clearly if Ron is going to run as a Libertarian, he ought to do it before those primaries in those key populous states.
So if by March he isn't doing really good, he's going to have to basically eject.
Yeah, and again, our convention is going to be the first weekend in May, so obviously it has to be before our convention is held. And the sooner he does it, obviously, I think from the convention standpoint, the sooner any candidate jumps into the race, I think they're going to receive a more welcomed response. Because, you know, Libertarians, we like to think of ourselves as, you know, the primo party and not the, you know, rejects from the Republicans and Democrats. But as soon as somebody decides, hey, we're going to run as the Libertarian, I think they'll get a very warm reception. And it'd be great to see the competition. As we all know, competition creates a better candidate, and the competition will help create more media, more awareness, more donations to the party and to the candidates, and create more excitement. And I'd say with the Tea Party movement and the Occupy Wall Street movement, clearly lots of people are very, very unhappy with the Republicans and Democrats. In fact, one of the things I like to point out, in the last years that these stats are available, from 2008 to 2010, only one political party gained registration, voter registration, and that was the Libertarians. Every other political party lost, and of course the real big winner has been those who are registered as declined as state. And just to give you an example, I live out in California, and San Francisco, everybody thinks San Francisco is this liberal democratic hotbed. 29% of the voters are registered as declined as state, which is our state's bureaucratic name for independent. So clearly, a lot of people are very unhappy with Republicans and Democrats. And so,
It's the same thing in Austin, Texas. They call this a big liberal bastion. That's just because the liberals get together and vote and control the system. This is more of a libertarian constitutionalist area. Now, shifting gears into another subject, Jesse Ventura. Obviously, I told him, I said, look, I mean, if you want to run as a libertarian, you need to work with the states and go ahead and just take it. But he said, well, yeah, but still, I want to talk to the leadership and see what their ideas are or their recommendations. Have you had a chance to talk to Jesse yet?
No. In fact, I've actually contacted your show a couple of times to try to get Jesse's number. So if offline you want to give me Jesse's number, I'll be more than happy to give him a buzz.
Okay, because I... all right, well, I've got to get permission to give you his number, but I'm sure there won't be a problem. I'm just going to call him after the show today because he does want to talk to you guys. And I know some people see Jesse as a loose cannon, but I think the fact that he really is a real guy and does have a lot of libertarian views, I think that's the... I mean, we need to get attention. We need to break this two-party dictatorship, and that's all Jesse Ventura talks about.
Yeah, this duopoly clearly is not serving the needs of the people. It's all special interests, all insider trading, all corporate welfare. All of that needs to come to an end, and I think the people are really kicked, and I think people are so thirsty for an alternative. And
what do you think of a Jesse Ventura as Vice President Ron Paul at the head of the ticket idea?
I would be very interesting. Again, I know Jesse comes with a little bit of baggage, but it would be a very interesting race, and I think it would generate a lot of media attention. So it would be very interesting. I have no sense from you know, the delegates that I know whether Jesse would be very warmly received. I certainly, through your show, have gotten several dozen email notes and phone calls from your listeners saying, hey, you know, get in touch with Jesse. So
we'll make sure that happens. Stay there. I want to get into some other issues. I mean, I've got a lot of questions, but I want to hear from you what you think's most important. We've got the chairman of the Libertarian Party nationally on the line with us. We'll be right back with Mark Hinkle. Straight ahead, I'm Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. We'll give you the Libertarian website on the other side.
If you're a man over 40.
By the way, the whole office is on a big health kick. I'm about the last person to get on it, but I've been trying. This is not an advertisement or plug, though they are a sponsor. I've started taking One World Way, and it gives me so much energy. I'm able to jog a lot further. And when you scoop it out, we got a bunch of whey. It's the best I ever tasted. When you scoop it out, it actually jumps off the spoon. It's like charged or something. Rob Jacobson was showing me. We ought to show people this on TV sometime. It is the best whey I've ever had. It's amazing. Okay, side issue there. I was just digressing after hearing that radio ad. Mark Hinkle is our guest, lp.org for Libertarian Party. lp.org is their website. What do you think is most important front and center right now? For me, it's that there is a huge awakening. We don't want the establishment to misdirect that into more collectivism, more cancer being the solution. We have to realize the fight for the heart and soul of people's political awakening is happening right now.
Absolutely. You know, I know a lot of people have been, over the years, been fairly apathetic about politics. But as you well know, just because you're not interested in politics doesn't mean politicians aren't interested in you. And so, yeah, we definitely want to tap into this resurgence. People at gut level, I mean, certainly looking at the economy, they know things are terribly wrong. And the government is more involved in running the economy than ever before, and things are worse than ever before. It seems to me that Obama is just running off the old FDR playbook back in the Depression. And if anybody has ever read The New Deal, Raw Deal by Bertrand Folsom, he details how basically FDR extended the recession into a massive depression, the Great Depression, as everybody's calling it, because the government got involved. And one point I like to really point out is about a year after the crash of 29, unemployment was at 10%, and people clamored for the government to go out and do something about that, and they did. And 1 year later, unemployment was at 20%. That's what you get when you get the government involved in trying to solve problems.
Of course, now they just lie and say, oh, we only have 9.2%, when every other economist says it's over 20%.
Well, and same thing with unemployment. You know, they count only the people who are currently receiving government benefits. Those people are unemployed. But everybody who's run off the unemployment rolls or who are working part-time and have given up looking for full-time work, those people don't count. Kind of odd for a government that's, quote-unquote, supposed to care for us. They don't count people like that. And, of course, out here in California, there's 177 jobs in which you have to get permission from the government, i.e. licensing or certificates, in order to go into those fields. And, of course, that limits the number of people who can go into those fields. So people who are down at the bottom of the economic ladder, they have a tough time climbing up the economic ladder.
And it makes it where there's less entry-level jobs, as you said. And this happens throughout history. The guilds go and lobby government to shut down all their competition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's bad for the consumer because that drives prices up. And this is anywhere from, you know, taxi cab drivers to people who cut hair, lawyers, doctors, nurses, you name it. all these restrictions restrict the supply, which means healthcare is less affordable. There's less service providers, and that drives up costs.
Yeah, what's your view? I mean, obviously you hate it, but on government-run healthcare, how can they have so-called Republican-dominated courts approving it? Well, look at Newt Gingrich. Look at, in fact, we're going to break. Can you do five more minutes with us and talk about some of the other candidates and the Republicans?
You got it.
Let's start talking about that now for about 30 seconds. I mean, these Republicans, how are they any different than the Democrats?
Well, if you look at Romney Care, it's like, hey, what's the difference between Obamacare and Romney Care? It's all government-run, government-mandated, government-forced insurance. And, of course, anytime you increase the demand for any kind of service, you increase the supply or the cost. You decrease the supply.
Stay there. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we have the national chairman of the Libertarian Party with us for five more minutes, Mark Hinkle. And we were talking during the break, and I brought up the fact that no matter what you believe about 9/11, official story or not, it's being used to take our liberties. It's being used for all these no-bid contracts. And
it's been used to institutionalize groping and public funding by TSA agents. If that isn't an outrage, I don't know what is.
You know, I heard Jerry Sandusky, now he's out on bail, he's applied for a TSA job.
Well, he's probably qualified.
Yeah, well, they say he'll be the specialist for the children. You know, what they do to children at those airports is what is illegal. It's the same stuff Sandusky now admits that he was horseplaying, grabbing on the children naked in the shower. But that wasn't pedophilia, according to him.
Well, you know, from a libertarian standpoint, we say, look, if I wear a government uniform and I do something and it's considered okay, but if as a private citizen I do the exact same thing, it's illegal. You know, you ought to check your premise there.
I think that's the essence of tyranny historically. What do you think of these Republican candidates? I mean, they're all as bad as Obama, and they're the leaders. What's wrong with Republican voters? I mean, is it just that they're spoon-fed by the media? Because because somebody's a Republican, it's okay to support giant government?
Well, let's not blame the Republican voters. I mean, let's look at the candidates themselves. They're bought and paid for. And the reason they're bought and paid for is because, of course, the government controls so much of the economy. I think it was P.J. O'Rourke who made the quote that when the legislature controls what is bought and sold, the first thing bought and sold is the legislature. And that's exactly what's happened both on the Republican side and the Democratic side. It's, you know, different special interests, but they're all being bought and sold.
Look, I know the American people are smart on average, and I understand that, but they've got to take some of the blame. These Republicans that love to bash Obama all day, Rick Perry, people like Mitt Romney, I mean, they are, their real record is like Obama. Their rhetoric is just different.
Right. And again, that's where the blame does, in fact, fall on the voters, because if you just take the sound bites and you just look at the brochures and the websites and actually not do the research that really needs to be done and look at the key issues and what they really did in office as opposed to what they said and did in office, then, yeah, you're not doing your job as a citizen of the United States.
Mark Hinkle's our guest, lp.org. Check it out today if you haven't, or get involved. Now is the time, my friends. In closing, before it would take 4 to 8 years for folks to wake up that the new boss was the same as the old boss. Now I see people waking up in 6 months or so. There's an acceleration in people not buying into the old fraud. If the system doesn't do the right thing and unblock people like Ron Paul, what do you see happening in the next cycle? If we're seeing this much unrest now.
Well, clearly, in fact, you know, shows like yours are really have done a tremendous job. I mean, just on the air while we were talking here, I've gotten 3 email messages from your listeners. So thank you, Pete and others, Thomas. But yeah, we've got to get out there and create some real change. And as Albert Einstein once noted, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if you expect Republicans and Democrats to solve the recession/depression we're in, when in fact they caused it in the first place, you're insane. And so I think it's incumbent on all citizens to take an active part in politics and decide, look, do you want the status quo? Do you want to continue down the rabbit hole into further repression and tyranny and higher taxation? Or do you want a little breath of freedom? And you're not going to get it from the Republicans, the Democrats, only the Libertarians and perhaps some of the Constitution folks who want to bring...
Absolutely. We're out of time, sir. Thank you.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This just in from the Daily Caller, now linked at Infowars.com. New emails, DOJ, Eric Holder manipulated press for favorable Fast and Furious coverage. And it's now been leaked that they were manipulating the press. That's like saying it's now been leaked that turtles have hard shells on their backs or birds tweet. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Attorney General Eric Holder's Justice Department sought to manipulate reporters. Really? Coverage of Operation Fast and Furious during the days preceding the November 1st Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, new emails obtained by the Daily Caller indicate. It just goes over all of that. Of course they did. They were shipping the guns in there from the beginning. When this was already breaking in local news, they had CBS come out with the whitewash that, oh, they were tracking guns to people that were buying them at gun shops. That was the cover to blame the Second Amendment. They were shipping them in 18-wheelers into Mexico. That's all come out. And shipping drugs back in. El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune. But it's got no national attention. And I told you a year ago, this went back to the Bush administration and before. Now, ISIS had to admit that. And that's why they won't go after Holder, who's been caught lying. New poll shows four-way tie in Iowa as Ron Paul moves to top tier. CBS has absolutely been devastated by giving him 89 seconds in the televised part and now being caught when he won first place in the poll, just removing him completely as we showed and documented last night on the nightly news, which is big breaking news. We don't even have an article out on that today, but it's big. There's so much it's like pearls before wonderful people, but there's so many pearls. Who can gobble them all up? So that's some of the news there. Now, joining us from Syria is Doctor of History. He's an economist, and he's also very brave. He's a best-selling author. He wrote the unauthorized biography of George H.W. Bush, Bush 41. He wrote the unauthorized biography on Barack Hussein Obama. And I read that thing 3.5 years ago and thought, this is unbelievable. Now it's all come out. And so he's nonpartisan. He's covering the issues. And he's in Damascus. He's in Syria. He's over there right now. And again, I'm not saying Assad is some cupcake. It is a dictatorial system with a bath party. But they're going to remove the government and put al-Qaeda in place and turn it into a new jihadi base. The West is on record funding the uprisings of the last 6 months and then calling them peaceful democratic. Blowing up police stations and stuff. Same thing in Libya. Now al-Qaeda flies the flag. Webster was there while it was being bombed for weeks, while reporters were being shot. I mean, he was under bombardment. He's now there in Syria giving us a report on how this ties in to the larger strategic operation to overthrow old allies like Mubarak, overthrow others. But then Saudi Arabia is criticizing Syria for shooting back at armed globalist-funded gangs, but with Saudi Arabia shooting peaceful people, that's hailed as liberal and loving. But when Syria does something even less, which I'm not defending, then it's just unbelievably horrible, and the rest of the Arab League condemning them. I mean, they're moving into a World War III constellation. Webster, you're there. Tell us what's happening, the latest, and why this is going on. Webster Griffin Tarpley of Tarpley.net.
Thank you.
I just spent the day in the city of Homs, H-O-M-S. And if you watch any of this coverage that the U.S. and European media are putting out, they're telling everybody that Homs is the great center of this rebellion, the democracy revolt that's supposedly going on in Syria. And I've just been walking all over this place, and I can tell you that this is a complete big lie. It is one big lie. And, of course, it's important for people to know this because the people in NATO, right, be it Obama, Sarkozy, Cameron of Britain, they're really willing to go towards some kind of a general war, at least in the Middle East, in the name of this destabilization of Syria. So let me just set the stage. Starting from Damascus this morning, we drove north on a four-lane highway, and one of the first things you notice when you come to Syria is that very different from Libya, that there are no checkpoints. I mean, you come into the international airport, right? Damascus International Airport. It's functioning normally. There's no special security. It looks pretty much like a normal airport. You drive into the city, first thing you see, no checkpoints.
But we now have, but we're told this is a great tyranny. We now have internal checkpoints where TSA now grabs your wife's breasts and your genitals on the highway. So is that why we've got to invade? Because pedophiles don't get to grope Syrian children?
Well, let me just try to continue. The idea then is the other thing you notice is that there are no checkpoints. I mean, we went by two. One is at the entrance to the city of Homs. There's a very low-key kind of checkpoint looking at cars, but nothing much. And then if you want to go visit the governor of this province, which we did, we went and visited the governor. And I want you to know, this was the first delegation of foreign journalists that was allowed to go to the city of Homs. And there were some people from other newspapers, in particular some Catholic journalists from Europe, from Belgium and from France were there. So we got to meet the governor of the city of Homs, and he's accompanied by a group of religious leaders, and you got to remember, Syria is a place that has 15% Christians in the population. It's more than Egypt, right? Egypt is 10%. Here it's 15%, so it's more. So you have your Greek Orthodox metropolitan, you have a Greek Catholic. Those are Catholics that are more or less connected to Rome with the Pope, and also Syrian Catholic. The Patriarchate of Antioch is a very old and very influential one, and that's right here in Syria.
So, sure, that's the church set up by Paul. So continuing.
Yeah, look, that's, now that you mentioned it, I stayed overnight very close to the place where St. Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. And this is a place you can go and visit. So the governor tells us there is a huge plot, a huge conspiracy against Syria, and the religious leaders basically say the same thing. So now we wanted to go and see, with the help of some of the people from these the patriarchs of these Christian churches of the East, go and see the neighborhood which is supposed to be the great center of this rebellion that the BBC talks about all the time. It's a neighborhood called Zahra, Z-A-H-R-A. Zahra is the place. This is it's a couple of square miles. Homs is a city of about 1 million. That makes it smaller than Damascus. Damascus has about 6 million. So we go to the neighborhood of Zahra, and they tell us there's a demonstration going on. You're here right at the proper time. So we go to see this demonstration, expecting to see people attacking Assad and attacking the government, right? Because that's what the international media have told you is actually going on. This is a demonstration which is pro-Assad. It's true that they don't like the governor, the guy that we had just met, for various local reasons. And the principal complaint they have is there's not enough heating oil for the people to heat their homes now that the winter is coming, because it's getting rather chilly.
And, of course, the sanctions are helping.
The sanctions, exactly. That's the reason why. It's not really the governor's fault. It's because of these sanctions. So then we, after talking to these people for a while, we go to the local hospital. Now, this should be the place where everything is made clear, because you're talking about the Zahra Neighborhood Hospital in Homs, in the great center of this revolution. And a lot of people, like a spontaneous demonstration forms when this busload of Western correspondents parks in front of the hospital of Zara. And people tell us this. They say, today we had 7 wounded, 5 killed. So we ask, who did it? And they say, snipers. Well, who are they? Well, we don't know. Many, many theories. I'll tell you about that. And they have, obviously, they have some facts. But today, in this one neighborhood, seven wounded, 5 dead. But it's not like this is going on everywhere. This is supposedly the center, along with maybe one or two other places in the entire country.
And by the way, you have made a beeline right to where the snipers are. We should point out Tarpley's very brave. But, I mean, Webster, to be clear here, because I just do the research. I just go off the facts. And it's just like Al-Qaeda being put in to the east of Libya and now taking over and flying the Al-Qaeda flag and saying they're going to, you know, put in Al-Qaeda law and all this stuff. And thousands of shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles are gone. And our media just says, oh, ignore that. But I've gone and looked up even what Voice of America admits. It is armed groups that pop up sometimes in clear Western CIA uprisings, shoot people, and our media calls them democracy activists. So clearly, this is not an excuse to attack Syria. But now they've gotten the Arab League to come in a miscreant fashion and start, you know, calling for sanctions, further sanctions. So I guess they're all afraid. But as long as they back all this, I guess they won't be the person next who's taken down.
But what the people say is this. In other words, I spent the last couple of hours in the middle of a crowd of a couple of hundred people who wanted to be heard. And anybody who could speak a little French or a little English would come to the fore, and they wanted to be heard because there were some television cameras and people were asking questions. So this was their chance to be heard. Again, it's the first group of foreign journalists to come into the city of Homs. Anybody who claims that they had been here, be it Al Jazeera, they never were here. The BBC was never here. So today we were there. So then we were trying to ask them, who is doing this? Who are these snipers? Well, the first thing you see is that it's a series of random killings. It's blind terrorism. It's agent provocateur. And they say, look, the thing that we're afraid of is when we go out, we're afraid of snipers shooting at us from
the
rooftop.
Sure, stay there, Webster. It's the classic thing where it's just a projection. These hired terror groups just create violence to point at it, you know, to point at it and say, see, there's a conflict. So it's full spectrum dominance where they create just a conflict and then project onto it whatever they want. Webster Tarpley from Damascus, Syria. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Alex.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, Webster Griffin Tarpley is in Syria. He's in the area where they say the uprisings keep originating from. He's right there where the snipers are shooting people every day. No one knows which side they're on. It's all fluid. Webster is an expert on false flag provocateur. Continuing, and because I know you're there, you can tell people what's really happening. But separately, Webster, then let's look at the larger geopolitical of why this is happening now and what the end game is. Please continue.
Let me just tell you what these people say, because I think this is what's really unique about this. That you talk to these people, right? And I've talked to all kinds of people, right? An English teacher, a couple of doctors in this hospital, a couple of nurses, French, English, whatever it is. And here's what they ask them, who is doing this? And again, it's random killings. So first of all, they say, there's no pattern to what they do. They kill Christians, they kill Muslims. Among the Muslims, they kill Sunnis, they kill Alawites, they kill others. They kill people who don't have any particular religious identity. They kill members of the army. 5 terrorists today got together and killed 1 soldier in this Zara neighborhood. So you keep pressing them and you say, all right, who's doing it? Who's doing it? And they say, here's where they think it comes from. The governor says that most of the killers that he sees are actually Syrians. But when you talk to the people, they say, yeah, it's true, there are Syrians who are doing the shooting, but behind them there's more. And then you say, well, who are they? And they say, Saudi Arabia is providing the money. Turkey is providing a lot of the help. Turkey is not that far from here. And then how about some more? They say Qatar, right, the wonderful homeland of Al Jazeera television, that Qatar is heavily
So it's the same crew that that NATO used to soften things up with Gaddafi.
In Libya, exactly. United Arab Emirates, important. They also say the Hariri faction of Lebanon, Rafik Hariri the Younger, and they say, watch out for Hariri, his mother is from Saudi Arabia, this is a bad apple. Rafik Hariri is also a part of it, and of course Lebanon is also very, very, very close. And then some of them, if you keep prodding, they'll say, yeah, and the CIA, of course, and Mossad, and others, right? NATO, other forces in Europe. So they'll also tell you these people are they're the Muslim Brotherhood. They're people who may have been in Al Qaeda, or they're Salafists. Salafists is just another brand of this extreme religious fundamentalism. Some of them just say those are fundamentalists and anathematizers. In other words, they're religious sectarians who say that everybody's bad except them. The governor talked a lot about mafia, organized crime, and you got the idea, drug pushers. So it looks to me like this has been thrown together. But the finding that I would have to make at this point, after having really heard a lot of very important first-person testimony, this problem is in the hundreds. It's not more than several hundred of these killers with a certain amount of backup. Now, how much that is hard to say. I asked some very intelligent people in this hospital today, what should the Syrian government do? And they say, simple, send more army troops. They say, we want soldiers on the roofs of the houses, in other words, on the top floors of apartment houses. We'd like to have some tanks in the streets, but above all, we'd like to have some soldiers on the roof. Because if the soldiers get up on the roof, then the snipers can't go there, and they can't do it. I was talking to a young woman doctor who was about to walk home. And as she walks home, she's got to worry about getting shot, right? You're just getting shot. I was shown a picture of a 3 or 4 year old girl who was shot dead in an automobile with her mother and some other little girls. Now there is one exception to this sniper rule, which is that kidnappings do go on, and there are significant kidnappings going on. The kidnapping is often a prelude to a murder. I visited with this group a bereaved family. And their son had been killed. Their son was a taxi driver. These were Alawites. They belonged to the same ethno religious group as the Assad family. But these were people. Right? The guy was a taxi driver. So he was kidnapped by these, as they said, fundamentalists. People with beards is often what you hear too. He was kidnapped and then he was murdered. In other cases, bodies have been dismembered. They've been cut into dozens of parts. There are also stories that I won't go into maybe now, but about the mutilation of women victims.
Yeah, but let me just stop you. We'll get into that when we come back. And you're joining us from Syria. Dr. Webster Tarpley joins us. But this is the same story where they was on BBC with the jihadis from Saudi Arabia saying, Syria, you're next. And right. And running up Al-Qaeda flags. So that's who's there. CIA, Saudi Arabia's brought him in. And Webster, you're being unpatriotic. An American's duty, according to our government's real policy, is to love Al-Qaeda. Now, I don't like... When you want to bomb Iran and Syria, relax. When you want to mass murder, relax. When you want to start World War III, when you want to mass murder like Hitler, don't do it. When you want to destroy America's name and bankrupt us worldwide, relax. Don't do it. When you want to go do it, relax. All right, we're going back to Webster Tarpley and... You know what? I am going to jam some calls in, but I'm introducing something other talk show hosts do. But instead of radio graffiti 7 seconds or 10 seconds, I will give you 30 seconds and myself 10 seconds and take your phone calls when Tarpley leaves us here in about 10 minutes. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. And, of course, we've only got 6 phone lines at Genesis. We've got like 100 here, but I'm going to do this in the future on my system so we can just bam, 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 go through them. It'll be hard for John to get them as they come in, but call now, 800-259-9231, and when you hear somebody hang up, that's your chance to get on air. That way it makes me shut up and makes me go to your calls. I'm going to tell you about a few sponsors. eFoodsDirect.com is running a whole bunch of different specials right now at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's where you find the specials. They've got holiday packs that are discounted massively. They've got free samples, you name it, all at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-876-0871. Folks, you're nuts if you don't get high-quality storable food, and this is the best place out there, bar none. 800-876-0871 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Continuing, Diamond Gusset Jeans has a whole new line of Made in America jeans, all styles for men and women. Go to GussetClothing.com and take a look at the great American-made product from the field to the factory. All Gusset jeans are made right here in America. Whether you are looking for boot cut, slim fit, or Kevlar reinforced like the Defender motorcycle jeans, you can find something for every member of your family. They got shirts and stuff too. Check them out at GussetClothing.com, G-U-S-S-E-T, clothing.com, or 888-8-GUSSET, 888-8-GUSSET. And they've got some specials for the holidays running as well at GussetClothing.com. All right, Webster, I'm going to try to shut up now. I've asked my questions. What is the larger geopolitical? You're there doing groundbreaking investigation. You are some of the only journalists to ever get into that area. I've been following it. Nobody's even going or even trying. They just sit back and say Assad is roasting children on a pit and maybe Satan. And he's also with Al-Qaeda. But meanwhile, it's known that Al-Qaeda works for the New World Order and has been given new fiefdoms. Finish up with Syria, then I want to ask you, what's the strategy of tension here, the order out of chaos? What are they planning to do with Al-Qaeda after they give them all these countries? I mean, I guess they'll just tell the public, oopsie, Al-Qaeda took over. Now we've got to attack them again. I mean, what's happening here?
Well, again, just to sum up the finding, the neighborhood of Zahra, Z-A-H-L-R-A, in the city of Homs, 1 million people, this is one of the principal neighborhoods. It turns out that this entire insurrection comes down to a couple of hundred terrorist snipers who are carrying out random shootings and kidnappings in order to terrorize all the relevant groups.
Random freedom fighting, though. They're helping people killing them. But I mean, this is just like Iraq, where even former top CIA analyst Ray McGovern's come on and talked about it. Later it came out that the Iraqi government with U.S. forces blew up the Golden Mosque to get Shiites and Sunnis killing each other. This is a classic, yes. Stir up the whole thing, call it a people's rebellion, bomb the whole country, and roll in and be praised, and have Anderson Cooper, in a Nelly way, prance around on stage talking about democracy.
So it is exactly that kind of a big lie. So a couple of hundred people. Now, one thing that I think has to be pointed out, what I found was people supporting Assad. They were chanting in favor of President Assad, and they were holding up their own, you know, not government manufactured pictures of him, but their own little pictures. And we went in a couple of houses, and there were pictures there too, in one of these houses of one of the victims. At the same time, there's a criticism of Assad that he hasn't done enough. One guy did a very interesting analysis. He said, look, this starts with the CIA, it starts with the Mossad, and then it goes through these other groups, right, other Arab countries, ethnic groups, criminal elements. And he said, on the whole, the response of the regime has been too tame. And again, a couple of doctors and other people in the hospital asked him, what should happen here? We want the army. We want more troops in our neighborhood. We want this to come to an end, because it's been going on since Friday, March 18th. Friday, March 18th. Now, what is it? 7, 8 months ago. That was Friday prayers. And one guy said there was a bunch of things on Facebook saying, go to such and such a square in Homs, and we're going to call for the overthrow of Assad. And they get out there. The police is there in small numbers. They get to demonstrate for 3 hours. And the police say, okay, 3 hours, it's time for us to go home. Time for you guys to go home, too. Why don't we just call it a day? And they say, no, we're staying. And then at a certain point, when the police say, well, you know, let's, you know, why don't you guys move on? And they start to shove them. At that point, the demonstrators, in this case, probably the Muslim Brotherhood, they pull out knives and they start to stab the cops. This is right at the beginning, Friday the 18th of March. It was never peaceful. It was never democratic. It was stabbing, right, starting out not with firearms, but with blade weapons. And then the cops respond, not even with gunfire, but with tear gas. So that's the start. But right now, it's just this bloodbath. And again, I think the message to Assad from these people that I heard is simply this, and I'm just reporting what I heard. They support Assad all the way, but they want more troops. They want them to do more. They say, this is not enough. It's a little bit too tame what you're doing. So this is exactly the opposite of what you're hearing. And another way to put it is, the reality here is not that the troops are killing civilians. That's the exception to the rule. It does happen, of course, because you get caught in these demonstrations and some civilians get killed. But the thing is that civilians, i.e. terrorists, these people that we've just gone through the catalog of, they're killing the troops. The governor said, I think his figure was 850 people have been killed here in the Homs area over the past, you know, 6-7 months, whatever it's been. And I think he said something like at least 200 have been soldiers. So the soldiers are a very, very large part.
But of course, NATO and the peace president, they want to liberate with carpet bombing and leveling of cities and infrastructure. So the liberals can all feel very trendy and prance around with little, you know, effeminate lisp and be big men like Anderson, CIA Cooper. So what's the larger game plan here, and how is it going for the forces that want to set the entire Middle East and North Africa ablaze? Gaddafi held them up for 6 months, but now they've got the country to carry out the ethnic cleansing all the way into Africa. That's been admitted, so the mass death and al-Qaeda takeover can now happen. But, I mean, how's the overall plan of mass murder going?
Just in terms of the neighboring countries, maybe we start with that and then move on to the superpower stuff. In the neighboring countries, it's very interesting that the centers of such insurrection as there is, which is not that much, right? It's nothing like Libya. With Libya, there was a whole belt of cities that were completely lost to Gaddafi from the very beginning, right? Benghazi, Darna, Tobruk, the whole Cyrenaica area was gone within a couple of weeks. In this case, it's a couple of neighborhoods or small areas or small towns along four borders. Along the Lebanese border, close to it, is Homs, right? And Hama, that's the other place. Homs and Hama, Hama being a bit smaller. Okay, so that's the Lebanese border. Then you go up to the Turkish border. There's an area there where there's some kind of insurrection going on. You go over to the Iraq border, and there you find that there's something going on. It's across from the Iraqi Kurds, right, the Kurdish entity. And then there's another area, which is this Daraa, I think it's called. That's the Jordan border, right? Jordan is to the south. So four borders, four foreign countries. It's like each one of the foreign countries has sponsored a center of terrorism and agitation inside this country. Now, looking beyond it, you have to ask yourself, you're really going to start a regional war for the sake of a couple of hundred terrorist killers, because that's what Hillary Clinton and Ambassador Rice there at the UN say they want to do. The difference, of course, is over the weekend, we just had the Arab League, blackmailed and bribed, I'm sure, by the United States, say, Syria, you're suspended. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, the Arab League is meeting, I think, somewhere in Morocco, and they're going to say, is that a permanent suspension or is it just a temporary suspension? If they can get the Arab League to say that it's suspended, that Syria is suspended, they can go back to the Security Council, because now they can say, up to now, we couldn't get anything through the Security Council against Syria because the Arab League didn't go along with it. But now they've suspended Syria. Now we can say the Arab League has turned against Syria. They go back and they try it. Now, I don't think they'll get anywhere. The Russian Foreign Ministry yesterday said, we don't agree with the stuff that's being done. done against Syria, right? We're not a part of that. And I think the Chinese probably see it the same way. But we have been disappointed by those guys in the past before, right? So Russia, China had better hang tough. But if they don't, then what happens, right? If you get a bombing campaign here, I can't see how Iran and Hezbollah stay out of this. And if they come in, right, we've had statements in the past couple of weeks where it's pretty clear that the retaliation, even just from Syria, would go all the way to Israel, and it would go deep into Israel. And at that point, you'd get some kind of a regional conflagration effect. And at that point, the sky's the limit, right? Hold on to your hat, because then it goes out of control, and then nobody knows where it ends, because it, you know, suppose an aircraft carrier gets sunk or something like this, right? And then there has to be retaliation for that, and then there has to be counter-retaliation. And you get into these scenarios of you know, runaway, you know, retaliation and God knows what. So I think it's very clear. This stuff has to end. The Syrians obviously need to do their part. I think these people have a good case that they want more protection from their government. But then there's also us, right? The United States has got to butt out of this. This is just... it is simply a big lie. In other words, there is no movement against Assad in the way that they say it. There is no group that says,
look, Webster,
on and out.
Webster, we're out of time. We're definitely going to have you back up the next few days. How long are you in Syria?
I've got quite a number of days, so we can certainly arrange something for probably towards the end of the week.
Yeah, let's get you on. Friday's the best day. For me, and that way we've got a lot of developments. So let me just put you on hold and try to set you up for a good time Friday. How's that sound?
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
Webster, be safe over there.
By the way, Alex, I was just talking to a guy from Paris who's listening. He listens to you in Paris.
Well, wonderful. Tell him I said hi.
Yes. He sends you his greetings, too.
All right. Thank you. All right, thank you. Yeah, there goes Webster Griffin Tarpley. I'm going to try to get Salente on today on the nightly news. Gerald Salente's gold account was emptied by MF Global. That's up at Infowars.com. This just went up a few minutes ago. He's on RT about it. I've told people, I don't like this keeping your gold at some company that holds your gold for you. I mean, if you've got some of it in a safe deposit here, there, and then wherever mixed around and a little buried on the back 40, whatever, then, you know, that's one thing. But these companies, you want to take it physical. You want to take it physical. That's what Midas Resources recommends. And I'm definitely going to get Webster on about this. This is truly disgusting. We're definitely going to get him on. That's up at Infowars.com. Also, Ron Paul came in second in the new Iowa big straw poll. They spin it and say a new four-way race in Iowa, Ron Paul moves to top tier. He's always been the top tier. And CBS is only doing that right now because of a firestorm over them removing the poll when he won 2 days ago and giving him 89 seconds during the televised part. Okay, during this segment and the next, I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds. I have a 10-second comment because I wish I'd give you longer, but then you know how long-winded I am. So let's just go to your calls right now. Scott in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, Alex, the mainstream media is performing a wag the dog, kind of like that movie. You know, it's a false flag. Everything they tell us is an absolute lie. We should totally not believe the media anymore. The lie that Ron Paul can't win, Webster Tarpley's exposing that what's really going on over there isn't what we're hearing in the media. The Jessica Lynch story, I believe the Gaddafi video was faked. I mean, the entire mainstream media apparatus is going for broke. And we can't believe anything they say, and it's time that we just cancel our cable subscription, stop getting their newspapers, start exposing that they create these lies, and they expect everybody to just believe what they tell us. I mean, Herman Cain, let me just say this real quick. Herman Cain is an Illuminati stooge. He comes out with his 666 plan. There's a mountain in Israel called Mount Hermon where the watchers, the fallen angels of man, the children of Cain, you know, and all this
listen, stuff. I got to let you go because that was more than 40 seconds, and I don't have time to comment now. Let's go ahead and go to Stephen in New York. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, first-time caller. I've been listening to you for many years. I want to thank you for the work that you do and tell Lord McBreen I said hello. But I have a quick question for you. A couple months back, Mike Adams had an article with regards to embryos being used as flavoring, and then I read something on the Examiner that they were discussing Kraft, Pepsi, and Nestle using it in their food. I was wondering if you read anything or had any comments on
that. I'm going to look that up during the break. If you saw it on Mike Adams' side, I have no doubt. I know that for decades they've used embryos and aborted babies in cosmetic production, not just here, but also in France, Europe, and over in China. So total dehumanization. So I'll look into that during the break and come back and cover it for you. Thank you so much, Steve, listening to 1310 AM in New York. Let's go ahead now and take a call from Jason in California.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was listening to Tarpley's radio show this Saturday, World Crisis Radio, and he was pretty critical of Ron Paul and his economic plan. And I thought if you had Tarpley and Paul on at the same time, it'd be a great show.
Yeah, I don't agree with Tarpley's economic solutions. His analysis is spot on. I'm against government socialism for the general public and for the big mega banks. I understand his point is that's the system we've got. So I agree with some of his ideas. Technically, I understand what he's saying. It's just it never works. I appreciate your call. Let's jam in one more. Let's talk to Ryan in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Long time, first time. I was thinking about the chemtrails issue. That's the best one to wake people up on because it's not a left or right issue. And I've had great success with copying what in the world are they spraying and handing those out. And also writing on money. It goes through so many people's hands. If you just write on all your bills, Infowars.com, great way to get it out.
All right, sir. Great points. By the way, we'll stay there. Well, we have nothing left to lose. It turns out this came out 5 months ago. It's all over mainstream news, but buried. It's all over natural news. It's all over life sites news. And Pepsi admits it. Their flavoring is fetuses. Man, you cannot make up the level of evil of the New World Order. And I'm sure something else is going on with that. That they've weaponized food against us. And people always think, why aren't you covering this, Alex? Why? Because I didn't know this. That's the point I'm making, is that I can't even handle how crazy this is getting. I'm telling you. I mean, heaven help us. I don't even know how to respond at this point. We've got a big geoengineering chemtrail globalist assault special tonight, 7 o'clock, probably the most important info we've ever covered on the nightly news. There's a 15-day free trial if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member. Let it go up there and become a member. And again, you can download all the films, everything, get them out to people, and then just cancel your membership if you don't want it. 15 days, please support us, become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. No excuse tonight, watch the show. And I'll obviously cover the fetal stuff tonight, too. This has been out 5 months, and I didn't know. Was that Ryan just brought that up or somebody else? Ryan, you only had 20 seconds. You got 15 more. Go ahead.
All right. Just like I was saying, the chemtrails is a good issue because it's not left or right, so people can't say, oh, you're a Republican or oh, you're a Democrat. You just go out on a day to spray in your town, copy what in the world are they spraying, point up. When people say, what's going on, you say, well, here's the answer. Hand them a copy, you're done.
That's right, and putting websites on money is also very effective. If our millions of listeners did that, it would really cause the globalist a heart attack. Everybody wrote Infowars.com. I'm not saying do that, of course. Let's go ahead and talk to Marvin in North Carolina. Because, you know, they're just putting fetuses in your Pepsi. I mean, what's the problem? We shouldn't write on money to warn people or get upset about that. Because, you know, they're just turning us into a commodity. Chopped up babies, got to do something with them anyways. We're the extremists for not liking it, I admit. Marvin in North Carolina, you're on the air.
Alex, how in the world are you?
Well, I'm a bad person because I don't like fetus flavoring.
Neither do I, Alex, but check this out. I work for a recycling company here in North Carolina. I drive the roll-off truck that hauls the compactor cans to the dump. And we've got a new clock system where when we punch in, they scan our hands as though we're working for NASA or somebody. What do you think of that?
It is training you to bioscan, to buy and sell, and then even if you have cash, it'll track everything you do. And if you're not a good globalist, Homeland Security now admits this, in the future you won't be able to have a job or be able to buy or sell anything. Not the Bible saying this, they're saying it, and they will turn your scan off, and then either they'll be told don't serve you, or they'll then dispatch people to arrest you. It is a total grid, and they're going to put in prison anybody that has an underground garden, who helps people. Hell is now being released, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I figured that. I just wanted to get your take on it, Alex. Keep up the good work and keep the information coming.
Yes, sir. When you go to SeaWorld, you go to Disney World, you got a scan to get in now. And guess what? My kids have never gone since then. I mean, but it doesn't matter. They're taking, you don't want to fly because of having your genitals groped? They're just setting them up on the highways now. They're not stopping. They're criminals. They're hardcore. They're pedophiles. They're scum. They're filth. They're murderers. Oh, they make me sick. Steve in New York, your last caller we got time for. Go ahead. Sorry to the others.
Hi, Alex. Thank you very much for taking my call and very excellent work that you're doing. On the topic of chemtrails, House of Representatives, October 2, 2001, by Representative Dennis Kucinich, H.R. 2977. Read it. It tells you about chemtrails in it, what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, he introduced a bill. Europe has a law against it unless it's authorized by the secret committee. And I'll cover it tonight. Anything else, sir?
Urge your listeners to check it out in the Library of Congress.
All right, good job. Good job. I'm out of time. See you back tonight. Tonight, 7. PrisonPlanet.tv.